Good morning. Please turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 10. It's 1 Samuel 10. Let's read it, yeah? Then Samuel took the flask of oil, poured it on his head, kissed him, and said, "Has the Lord anointed you a ruler over his inheritance? When you go from me today, then you will find two men close to Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin and Zelzah, and they will say to you, 'The donkeys which you went to look for have been found. Now behold, your father has ceased to be concerned about the donkeys and is anxious for you, saying, "What shall I do about my son?" Then you will go on further from there, and you will come as far as the oak of Tabor. And there are three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a jug of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from their hand. Afterward, you will come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is, and it shall be as soon as you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, and a lyre before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man. It shall be when these signs come to you, do for yourself what the occasion requires, for God is with you. And you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down to you and offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings. You shall wait 7 days until I come to you, and you shall and show you what you should do. Then it happened when he turned his back to leave Samuel, God changed his heart, and all those signs came about on that day. When they came to the hill there, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came mightily upon him, so that he prophesied among them. It came about when all who knew him previously saw that he prophesied now with the prophets, that the people said to one another, "What has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" A man there said, "Now who is their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" When he had finished prophesying, he came to the high place. Now Saul's uncle said to him and his servant, "Where did you go?" And he said, "To look for the donkeys. When we saw that they could not be found, we went to Samuel." Saul's uncle said, "Please tell me what Samuel said to you." So Saul said to his uncle, "He told us plainly that the donkeys have been found, but he did not tell him about the matter of the kingdom which Saul has mentioned." Therefore Samuel called the people together, the Lord at Mizpah, and he said to the sons of Israel, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I brought Israel up from Egypt and delivered you from the hand of Egyptians and from the power of all the kingdoms that were oppressing you. But you have today rejected your God who delivers you from all your calamities and your distresses, yet you have said, 'No, but set a king over us.' Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans." Thus Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. Then he brought the tribe of Benjamin near by its families, and the Mitrite family was taken. And Saul, the son of Kish, was taken, but when they looked for him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired further of the Lord, "Has this man come here yet?" So the Lord said, "Behold, he is hiding himself by the baggage." So they ran and took him from there, and when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? Surely there is no one like him among all the people." So all the people shouted and said, "Long live the king." Then Samuel told the people the ordinances of the kingdom and wrote them in the book and placed it before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, each one to his house. Saul also went to his house at Gibeah, and the valiant men whose hearts God had touched went with him. But certain worthless men said, "How can this one deliver us?" And they despised him and did not bring him any present, but he kept silence. Pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this morning, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your word, God. And really just examples, God, of both great men of God, Lord, and also men, Lord, who falter, that, God, we may learn from them. Lord, we also pray, God, that as we hear your word, God, open our hearts, God, that really bring your spirit of conviction, God, to help us realize, God, maybe areas of our lives or where we really still need to submit to you, Lord, and to follow you. And so, God, I humble myself, Lord, to preach a prophetic message today, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so I've been actually going through a bit of a series through 1 Samuel. And so just a quick background on what's going on is through 1 Samuel, Israel has gone from a theocracy to a monarchy. Basically, they've switched gears from basically having God as their king, God as their basically political party, to now being a king, or desiring a king, or a monarchy, much like, you know, what London is, and although, or not London, Great Britain and whatnot. And part of the reason why they've done this is because as they've gone in the promised land, as they've received fruitfulness, as they've started to see the goodness of what this land is, they started seeing what other people have done. And so they started seeing how other cities run themselves, other nations run themselves, and they decided, we no longer want God. And this was something that actually started much before 1 Samuel, but it wasn't until 1 Samuel that they said, hey, we no longer want to want God as our king, we want somebody else. Now, chapter 10 is quite interesting because this is the chapter in which Saul basically gets inaugurated as king over Israel. And reading this, actually, when I was going through a study for myself, is if you are in any way called by God, or you feel like there's a calling over your life to either, all of us have that calling, but specifically if to be a leader or whatnot, it's going to make sense to us as Christians in general anyway, but Saul is a very, very important book to each and every king, to each and every single one of us. And the reason is because even through his inauguration, we're going to see exactly the type of person we shouldn't be through Saul. And so let me kind of go through this and I'll explain why. So even from the very beginning, right, let me teach on some things first before I kind of get to Saul, is, you know, Samuel at the very beginning pours the flask of oil over Saul. And back in the day in Israel, this was basically, for two reasons, oil, anytime it's seen in the Old Testament, when it's poured over someone, it's representative of the Holy Spirit. Meaning, anytime anyone gets appointed to be leader or king, oil is poured over them for two reasons. One, it's representative of having the Spirit on them so that, one, they are seen by their congregation or by the body in which that they are to lead, that the Spirit of God is over them. It is like the authority has been placed on them, and so you should listen to this person, okay? Secondly, it is also the anointing, the second part of that is that the anointing of God is also over the person to be able to hear from God and to lead his people. Now, the second part that I more also want to talk about is, not only is it for the people to see that this person is now anointed, it's for the person who receives the oil to remember that they have been anointed and they have a responsibility to lead the people that they have been placed above, in a place of leadership for. Now, why is this important? For Saul, we see that Samuel prophesies over him and says, you know, as you go from here, something's going to happen to you and you're going to prophesy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And all of these things happen. But eventually what happens to Saul is this. He stops living a life that is conducive to the Holy Spirit's power in his life. Basically, what he starts doing is he stops remembering the calling that was over his life to lead God's people, and he simply looks at his position as a position of power. Now, I'll explain this a little bit after, but in our context, this is where I find as Christians, this is very, very important to us. Each of us, when we accepted Jesus Christ, we also accepted the Holy Spirit. Not only did we accept the Holy Spirit, we asked him to come upon us and the anointing of God to come and the favor, etc., etc., etc. And we realized that as Christians, we are called to be missionaries, to go and to make disciples. But my question to us is this, as Christians, how effectively and how consciously do we make an effort to protect our relationship with Holy Spirit? Let me ask us this way, right? If we know that it is the Holy Spirit that does the work that is in our lives, right? Whatever it is, whether it's to be a minister or to be a blessing or to be a witness, then we know that without the Holy Spirit, we're incapable of doing any of these things. And so as Christians, we really should be living a life that is conducive to the Holy Spirit not only living in us, but desiring to act through us. Now, we know God is not going to take his presence from us. His word tells us this, right? Hebrews 13, right? For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But there is a power and an anointing of God and the Holy Spirit where we can grieve the Spirit in such a way that he lifts his power from us. And so just as a quick thing is we see that Saul does this, right? Although he ends up prophesying at some point and the power of the Spirit comes through him, because of his choices, because of his disobedience to God, because of the way he chooses no longer to be in communion with God, the power and the anointing of the Spirit lifts from him. And so with us, what are some of the things that we do today that really grieves the Spirit, that I think that in many ways we don't really think of? Because the Word tells us, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your spirit, with your soul, with your mind. And I believe one of the very important things that for us not to grieve the Spirit is actually protecting our minds. Protecting the things that we see. Protecting the things that we let in here. Because think about it this way, right? Anytime we're idle, anytime that we're, you know, even on the bus, whatever the case may be, we're always thinking of the things that are that we see, or the things that we desire, or the things that we've recently looked at. And if these things are not good, the rest of us is going to be very badly affected by these things. I shared with you guys about Elysium, right? The movie when I preached once, how I really felt like it grieved the Spirit. Well, it happened again. I was watching A Mockingjay Part 2. It was very, very intense. Like, it was a good movie, very, very intense. But I remember during the movie, again, I had that same feeling where even during the movie, I felt like God was saying, you shouldn't be watching this. Because the movie basically was glorifying death. I mean, it was very, very subtle. I mean, it wasn't like they were killing people on purpose, but it was very, very dark, the way that people were getting killed and the way that people were getting... It was really bad. And I remember sitting in the theater. I mean, really, I really should be listening to myself, but I mean, I didn't leave. I was there with my wife, and it was date night, so I was like, oh, you know, it's date night, we should stay in there. But the honest, if I was to be truthful, is I really felt like I grieved the Spirit. And so I think we really need to be careful about what we see and what we let into our heads. And the reason is because if we don't protect our minds, we start thinking of the wrong things. We start thinking of doing the wrong things, and we grieve the Spirit, and his power can lift from us, okay? So I talked too long about that. Let me continue. Now, the next part is this, right? Clearly, God's Spirit fell on Saul. We know that it says, right, he turns around from Samuel and God changed his heart. Well, I have a very interesting question for us. How is it possible for a man whose God's heart has changed for him to suddenly, eventually fall away from God so badly that he looks to kill one of God's most beloved and anointed people, David? Okay? Let me suggest to us, it's pride. Okay? And the reason is this. As Christians, having the Spirit of God on our lives and the anointing and the favor over our lives brings blessing that I think sometimes we can't see and we don't understand. Meaning things sometimes work out for us. There are things that God blesses us and gives us into our lives because he loves us and because the anointing and the favor of the Holy Spirit is there. A lot of times, even in our work, things work out. Because of the direction and the calling of our lives, God does these things for us. But sometimes what happens is, because things come so easily now, I'm not saying that, you know, it's just poof overnight or whatever the case may be, but because things start moving in our lives so well, it's very easy for us to become prideful. Saul, at the very beginning of his life, remember, he wasn't really anybody, but at the beginning of his life, what did God do for him? He basically turned him from someone who was not known at all, from the smallest of tribes, into the king over the entire nation. And then at the very beginning, he won a lot of battles. God called him to fight a lot of battles. The Holy Spirit was with him, and he knew all the strategies and to win and whatnot. But eventually, his heart turned away from God. And actually, it starts at chapter 15. God tells him to conquer a part of the Philistines, to kill the king of the king Agag, and he doesn't do it. He disobeys, and because he feels like, it's okay, it's already done, I can show mercy. And what happens is, from that act of disobedience, was the start of his fall, actually. And so this is a great reminder for us. If we looked at Saul's lives, if you in any way have had any blessing in your life, and you recognize that God is the one that does it, remember to continue to humble yourself, that God will continue to work through you. And not only that, to protect you from the fall. I mean, this is, I think, one of the greatest evils, and it's sometimes the most subtle evils that a Christian can walk into. Because pride, in many ways, is something that wells up in us. And it's not something, so sometimes it can be very obvious, right, when we say certain things. But sometimes it can be very, very subtle, especially in the context of being in a church, right? Oh, wow, God's really blessed you, right? Wow, you're really good at this. And people start saying certain things to you. Wow, you know, you're really successful in your work. And obviously it feels good. And so you're like, oh, praise God, thank you. But there's this inside, there's this feeling of, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, I did good. Right? And, you know, I know nobody's nodding, but I think all of us have felt it at least one point. I know I have. And because it's such a subtle thing sometimes, eventually what happens with pride is it takes over in such a subtle way where we start walking in pride, thinking that we're actually walking in the Spirit of the Lord. And that's when it becomes very, very dangerous. And so that's when it becomes possible, even as Christians, even though we're anointed by God, we fall away because of pride. Okay. We'll just end there. It's already 30, right? So why don't we close our eyes and I'll, Nick, come up. So maybe just let the Holy Spirit speak to you in this way. Are we living lives that are conducive to the Spirit? Are we living a life that honors Holy Spirit? Are we living a life that grieves Holy Spirit? Are we choosing to protect the unity that we have with God? Or really, are we taking His presence in our life for granted? I think this is a point as Christians sometimes that we take quite lightly because there's such grace in our lives. Now, this is not necessarily a point of condemnation or whatever the case may be, but I think it's important for us to be reminded that even God's blessing in our lives is grace. His favor over our lives is grace and mercy. And so especially if God has called you into a place of leadership, not necessarily even in the church, but in the workplace, do everything you can to protect yourself from images and thoughts that could lead to one of the reasons of the greatest downfall, which is pride. And so as Nate leads us in a song, let's respond to God in this way. Lord, is there anything in my life right now that is really keeping me from being able to live out a life that is full of your Spirit? Let's pray.
There's nothing worth more than will ever come close. Nothing can come. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where all becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit. this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Let us become of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Holy Spirit, you're welcome.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, your presence, Lord.
Let's continue to pray. Let's really invite God and the Holy Spirit into every area of our lives. Let's ask Him not only to change us, but to give us the favor and the power to complete His will in whatever arena He's called you to, wherever it is that you are called into missions, that we can do it faithfully and in partnership with Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Let's turn to our community. Let's pray for those who are suffering from cancer-related issues and those going through chemo and radiation therapy or surgery. Let's really pray and claim God's word over them, that by His stripes that they're healed. Let's also pray for provision over their families, over those that may be suffering, for joy and for peace. Let's really pray. Lift up those in our community in need of healing, but also salvation. Let's really pray that God opens their hearts, their minds, and their eyes, that they'll see Him and know His truth. Let's really pray for the family members who have been praying for their salvation as well. Let's really pray for hope to arise and for faith. So let's lift them up. Pray for those who are in need of healing that are not that are suffering from non-cancer related issues. Let's pray for God to really cover them, to remove pain, to take away symptoms, whatever the case may be, that they may be fully and completely restored. And so likewise, let's also pray for a rising of faith and hope, especially for those who've been suffering for a long time. Let's really pray that they'll continue to seek God and they will not lose hope. Pray for those in our community looking for work. Let's really ask God to cover them with His favor and His anointing. Let's ask God to continue to bring providence as well if they haven't been working for a long time. But let's pray that God also prepares their heart for their mission field, that when they do receive their job, that they too will be ready to do God's will in whatever arena that they've been called to. Go to our mission focus. Let's really lift up Hong Kong. Let's really pray for the government and the wealth gap here. Let's really pray that God's going to move in this city in that way. Let's pray for a revival. Let's pray for all the churches that are here. Let's pray for Sports Services International, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Feed the Hungry, CSW, and the Hong Kong Korean Church. Let's really pray that God moves through every single one of these entities to be able to bring God into the city and to bring change. Thank you. If you can please pray for the staff, you can pray for our families, pray for our work and our ministries. Please ask that God will just anoint us with favor and also to continue to help us in knowing what to do and how to do it. Please pray for especially P. Sam. He just came back from Beijing. Please pray that he's going to rest up well and continue to be able to lead and whatnot. So let's pray. Let's lift up the worship sound and media team as well. Let's pray that they will continue to serve with a heart of worship, with excellence, with attention. Let's also ask God will continue to anoint them in their minds, their hands, whatever it is that they use for their craft, that they can be so anointed in what they do. Let's pray. Let's lift up Arts Anonymous. Let's pray for increased creativity as they continue to prepare for our spread, our as a triannual newspaper, that they continue to have creativity for the website as well. Let's just really pray for them, lift up their families, lift up their time. Let's pray for God's favor over them. Let's pray. Let's lift up the house churches tonight. Let's lift up Fontana, EastEnders, Cornhill, Kowloon, Garden, Soho, and Old Peak Row. Let's pray for God's Spirit to really come and minister to them tonight. Let's that they'll have such an amazing time just meeting with God, worshiping and fellowshipping. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, God, for your word, Lord, and we just want to humble ourselves before you, God. And, Lord, if there's anything that we've done, God, to grieve your spirit, Lord, or to really in any way act in disobedience, God, we repent, God. And we just ask, God, will you continue to fill our life with your grace and with your mercy, that, God, your Holy Spirit will continue to move in our lives, Lord, so that others may see the testimony of Christ, Lord, and your love that is in our lives. And so, God, I pray for everyone who's here, God. I thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for your blessing over their work, Lord, their relationships. I ask, God, will you cover their families, Lord? Lord, will you come against any backlash over their lives, Lord? Bless their hands, God. Bless their socks off in all that they do, that, God, they can be such a great influence, Lord, in whatever arena, God, you've called them to. And, Father, I pray, God, that you'll continue to protect them, God, from the evil one, Lord. Help them, Lord, to continue to remain humble, Lord, and faithful in all that you've called them to. And so I thank you, Lord. We bless you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great time of worship, and we'll see you back tomorrow.